Welcome to Learned Lag, a podcast about yesterday's Learned League questions and answers. I'm George.
And I'm Amanda. George and I are both in Zephyr A. This is season 32 for George and season 28 for me.
This is day 19 of season 100. First question asks us, what television series has six umbrellas in its opening credits and six dots in its logo that match?
So, as soon as I could clear out a couple of cobwebs around this one, like... there's a show, right, called Umbrella Academy, for example.
Yes.
Like, thinking of something that has the word umbrella in its name. Mm-hmm. But that, you know, I don't really know that much about that show, so I abandoned that quickly. And then tried to picture the opening, an opening credit sequence with a lot of umbrellas in it. And the one from Friends came to mind, and I thought, does that have the six dots in it? Or what, you know, does that... match what I can think of, and then, oh yeah, the six dots and the six umbrellas are for each of the six main cast members, and they go between each letter of the Friends, you know, name in the logo. And so once I kind of could sort of have a mental screen grab of both of those ideas in mind, I was pretty confident in putting down Friends.
Yeah, I also initially thought Umbrella Academy, and no, it wouldn't be that. The question would be something about parasols or bumper shoots or some such. So I have this vision that plagued me for hours this morning of a TV show with credits that are like mostly in black and white. And it's a person kind of walking down a crowded street, kind of in and out of things. And the umbrella is colored. Mm-hmm. Everything else is black and white. Maybe the person's yellow rain slicker is as well. And I still can't figure out what this actually is. Please let us know.
I have ideas.
Okay. Theories. Okay. And then that kind of mutated into sort of the same thing, but a top-down shot. And we're seeing kind of this black and white just crowd scene, and there are umbrellas that are colored. Moving in and out of things, and you know, it's supposed to be like a very kind of spy sort of thing in my mind, and like the Americans or something like that. Like, you know, it's showing like the movement of all these parts and, you know, people and plots and the like. And I just I couldn't land what that was. And eventually I tried to push that away and thought, okay, maybe it's something more frolicky. Maybe, and then, bang, it just dropped. Like, yeah, yeah, I remember, like, they're playing with umbrellas in a lot of the quick change scenes, shots in the credits of Friends, which, of course, as did most credit sequences in the 90s, got shorter and shorter and shorter as time went on, you know, to the point that they basically don't exist anymore. And then, yeah, that, and then I thought, okay, yeah, there's six of them, there's six umbrellas, because are there six characters? Yeah. And then I had to convince myself that the dots are between the six letters in the word Friends. But there couldn't be dots in between the six letters in the word Friends if there were six dots. I literally had to just kind of stop what I was doing, close my eyes, and go... F, R, I, that's three. E, N, D, that's six. S, that's seven. There would be six dots in between seven letters. Yes, that is what it is. It's Friends.
And that was the correct answer.
Drove me bonkers trying to figure out what that black and white show was.
So I have two ideas, and they might be diametric opposites. One is there not a scene in Schindler's List where
someone goes through?
Okay. The other is the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
No.
Part of her opening sequence, though, is her with an umbrella, is
yes.
it not?
Yes, okay. But no, this is much more stylized.
Okay.
Even, like, kind of that, is it rotoscoped? You know how, like, the Hobbit movie from the 70s? It's animated, but it's very clearly animated over, it's that kind of, that's what is in my head of this crowd scene.
Something anime or
not quite that, like even more undetailed than that. Just it's driving me nuts. Right. I probably made it up. But yeah, that's what took me forever to get out of my head this morning.
Former memory that didn't exist. All right. Question two asks us what island the fossils classified initially as Pithecanthropus erectus were found on.
At Triniel, at the River Solo, and I was absolutely certain this was Pitcairn.
Mm.
And even to the point that I thought, oh, wait, do I mean Piltdown? No, because Piltdown was a fraud, and Piltdown, I'm pretty sure, is not an island in and of itself. I think it's a place in England.
Mm-hmm.
I said Pitcairn. Pitcairn Man, that is absolutely a thing.
This one, I had to also do the whole thing of eliminating the Piltdown Man because of the hoax thing. And then I was thinking of the, and I'm not sure this if this is the same find, I guess, as the set of fossils that were the initially called hobbits. Because they were in the, they were small relative to other finds. And then I realized it sort of doesn't matter because it's the island I have to give the name of. Mm-hmm. And if that was the case, it wasn't going to help me. So I kind of just oriented myself around, this sounds like if it's an island, Triniel and the River Solo sound like somewhere in the South Pacific area, I guess, vaguely. And for some reason, the first island that came to mind was Java. And it may be because it's been a recent, like, Jeopardy clue. I feel like there's been a thing about that. Mm. Anyway, that came to mind. I thought, was there such a thing as a Java man? I think there was. Yeah, that mm-hmm. sounds like it's an actual thing, and that's why it's coming up for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just kind of listened to that sense of things and just thought, yeah, I'll go with Java Man.
Yeah, and that was correct. Well done.
Wow, thank goodness.
Yeah, Pitcairn, there is no Pitcairn Man.
Yeah.
Pitcairn Island is where the Mutineers of the Bounty ended up.
Well, and that's a series of islands, right?
I think it's just the Pitcairn Islands. Okay, no, could be. There's
more than one.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I swear, there's a where did we dig up these hominid bones questions every couple of seasons, every year or so, and uh-huh. I am always dead certain that I know it, and I am always, always wrong.
Ugh.
Question three gives us a bunch of details, but essentially asks us for the name of Shania Twain's either second or third album, each of which sold gazillions of copies.
Yes. And this is one where, like, it's in this weird nadir of my music listening in a way, because 95 is when I graduated from college, 97 I graduated from grad school, and I was in no way following that much pop music, much less country pop music.
Mm-hmm.
So despite this being a huge album, like I would say it wasn't until the 2000s that I kind of heard a little bit more of her music. And so I knew I'd like seen videos from this. And so I was trying to picture like, you know, kind of that MTV title card that they play at the beginning and end of videos. And should I picture like a word or something from that?
Mm.
But kind of, you know, parallel to that, I was pretty sure, you know, I've read some stuff about her. I've definitely spent more time reading about her than actively listening to her music. And I thought she had an album that was just her first name, that was Shania.
Hmm.
I thought, that sounds reasonable, like her second album might be that one. I was pretty sure it wasn't the third, you know, the one that was huge, because I had the sense that that had its own name. And, I tried to think of other possible naming, like, reasons for something to be named something different. And just nothing would come to me. It's essentially, I think it is a Yekioid question, more or less. And I do not know it. And so I put down Shania. Mm. That was my best guess.
So I knew that her big song, or one of her big songs, maybe it was her breakout song, maybe it was her biggest, but one of the big ones was Man, I Feel Like a Woman. The one starts out, Let's Go Girls.
Oh, that one, yeah.
At least I think that's, now I'm, well, anyway. But I didn't think that was the album name, but for some reason it occurred to me that it was very near that. And so I kind of cast around like something about like it's very it, woman is very definitely features in the title of one of these albums at least, and eventually the woman in me bubbled up, and I had to think, is that a song? Is it also a song? I mean, it's almost certainly a song because you know, almost every album is named after one of the songs, if not the artist. The woman in me, do I know that song? I feel like I do, but I don't think it's the Shania Twain version that I know. I think I'm thinking of a song by a different artist that is very not country. And I couldn't think of who that was for a long time. But I just kind of said, yeah, that for some reason that is just filling the very, very small gap in my knowledge of what was Shania Twain's big album name, you know, that I no doubt heard many times as people discussed it in the entertainment industry and the like. And you would, you know, see it on Entertainment Tonight or VH1 or the like, and, you know, just coverage of this is a really huge album, even if you don't. You know, even if we're not playing these particular songs, they crossed over a little bit, but I just couldn't think of anything else that would have really landed and would have worked, and I was pretty sure that it wasn't just Man, I Feel Like a Woman, and the woman in me just kept coming up as the thing that this was, so I went for it.
That was one of the correct answers. Whew. The other was Come On Over,
which I did not know at all.
I saw them, I was like, oh yeah.
Come On Over still just doesn't ring a bell for me. I don't know why.
Yeah, and
considering it's a bigger one.
But, you know, all relevance aside, is the other song you were trying to think about Feels Like the First Time, perhaps?
No.
I guess it's just the woman in you that brings out the man in me.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
No, I recognize the one you're thinking of, yeah, but no, I don't think that was it.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
Natural Woman, perhaps?
No, I don't think so.
All right.
Yeah, I'll figure it out eventually. Her first album, I looked it up after you said that you thought it was Shania. Her first album was Shania Twain.
Ah.
Okay. So, I don't know whether you ever heard of that. I don't know how it did.
Probably,
I
didn't even. Yeah.
I just kind of glanced at Wikipedia for it. I don't know whether it was a big album even, but.
Sure. All right, moving on to question 4, we are asked, which school has won the NCAA Division I Men's Basketball Championship 3 times since 2010 with a different coach each time?
So I didn't know this off the top of my head. I don't follow college basketball very much. I was fairly certain it was not Michigan or USC, therefore I could dismiss my alma mater and... But I had to think of, okay, who else would have won 3 titles within 14 years and with different head coaches? And that was the part that I tried to focus in on, because to me that said, okay, you had a legendary coach who won one and then retired, and then they replaced that coach, and it was somebody who maybe won a couple, won one, and then dropped off. Maybe they won like the first or second year and then the quality dropped off. So they got rid of that person and hired a new coach who then won one. Because otherwise having 3 coaches within 14 seasons, all of whom won championships, something weird happened there. Like you don't fire a guy with a championship. So I tried to think, was there any team that could describe. I didn't know. I couldn't fill in any of like the middle one, like who would have been successful but then got fired for whatever reason. So I tried thinking, okay, who has had a legendary coach who retired, maybe 12 years ago or thereabouts? I thought, is that when Krzyzewski retired at Duke? And I thought, no, that was more recent. Like within the last few years, I feel like that was post, or that was pandemic era that happened. So then I thought, okay, what's another team that could possibly have won 3 titles in the last 14 years and might have had that legendary coach? And I thought UConn. No, I feel like that. I feel like their coach is more long tenured than that. I don't think they have. I don't think they've had a coach retire. As I said, 10 to 12 years ago, and then had another one, and then had another one. And then I thought Kentucky. Kentucky wins a lot of basketball championships, and I think they had a legendary coach who retired a while ago. And maybe they would have had one who carried on and then, you know, left soon after. Because often another thing that happens when you have a legendary coach who retires is you get one of his longtime assistants in. Mm-hmm. And then maybe that person only lasts like, you know, 6 or 7 years because they're just old. And they just decide, okay, I had my shot. I'm done now. Thanks. But yeah, just nothing landed for me. And so I finally just figured, okay, probably Kentucky. They win a lot of championships, or have historically, or at least win a lot of basketball games. So I'll go with Kentucky.
Yeah, I took a much shorter shortcut to a not correct answer. I essentially, I did some of the same steps as you, which namely eliminating Michigan, because I know that they haven't won that many in those years. And I thought about, could it be UConn? Now, I feel like that same thing with, you know, they have a really long tenured coach, and or what I'm thinking of is their women's basketball program, which has been very strong as well. Mm-hmm. So I kind of brushed them off. And then I figured, well, maybe I just need to go with a school that I think of as a basketball stronghold, but that I almost don't know enough about to eliminate, like, the 2 schools in North Carolina are essentially what came to mind, UNC and Duke. And I thought, I'm pretty sure Duke hasn't been that strong in this period of time. Mm-hmm. So I'll go with UNC, because I would have no window into their coaching situation, but they always seem like they come out pretty strong in the tournament. So, mm-hmm. That's what I put down.
Reasonable. It was UConn.
Dope.
We both managed to
skip right by it
and talk ourselves out of it.
Yep.
Hate that.
Yep.
Question 5 tells us that the wife of George II had 8 children and may have inspired a nursery rhyme character. And what did that character inhabit?
This is such a weirdly phrased question, mm-hmm. for one that's essentially very easy. Mm-hmm. So if you think of a woman who had a lot of children and you think of nursery rhymes, the old woman in the shoe is who had a lot of children and did not know what to do. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I even know much more about she spanked them all soundly and sent them to bed is the ending of that I recall. I figured this, you know, 8 children sounds like quite a few, especially for a monarch. It never seems that, you know, royal lines seem to produce lots of children for various reasons. And so I can see how that might have been notable enough to inspire something like this. And so I just figured, you know, even if this is not a story that I know about Caroline, which interestingly, they don't call her Queen Caroline. They call her the wife of England's George II. Mm-hmm. Which it's kind of like,
is there a reason for that?
Yeah, it struck me a little odd there. But essentially, presumably after you've had 8 children in that era of time, you are considered old, regardless of whether you were 30 or whatever it might be. So I thought, you know, this is probably the old woman who lived in a shoe. So that's what I put down, a shoe.
I didn't even think about it that much. I just figured, oh, this is the old woman who lived in a shoe, had so many children she didn't know what to do, or whatever it was like that. So, yeah, I said shoe.
And that was the correct answer.
That was a quick one for me.
A shoe.
Yes, specifically a shoe.
You know, and I just want to point out, I've said a shoe now 3 times, and you haven't said Gesundheit. Disappointing. Finally, question 6 asks us to identify the city in central France associated with an unfavorable part of history featuring Henri Philippe Pétain.
Henri Philippe Pétain was the head of the Vichy France collaborationist government of World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And that was you know, centered in Vichy France, or in Vichy, comma, France,
mm-hmm.
Rather than Paris, and that's what that is. It's Vichy. I just mm-hmm. one of the things I've studied.
Well, sure. Yeah, I this one, Vichy is what came to mind relatively quickly, partly just because it's a city that I associate with that kind of unfavorable, you know, dark time in history, I guess. And so I had to kind of walk myself back into that answer by thinking about, like, he was born in 1856, and then he, you know, was leading French forces some period of time after that. Like, how old might a person be in a role like something in Vichy France? That, you know, if you do the math, he's in his 80s, I guess.
Yep.
In this time period, which
not his early 80s either.
Yeah, and I think I, you know, kind of luckily for me, I had some wrong reasoning to encourage me to go with Vichy. Just because I thought, well, maybe this is World War I that I'm thinking of, that there was some role in there, or that it was like, that's where the Dreyfus Affair also took place, or something that was, you know, yeah, I hadn't really teased out the threads very clearly because I don't know the history that well. And I just kind of know Vichy is associated with that, I guess, negative period of history, and that was as much as I had to hang my hat on. No other city came to mind. Like, it's not going to be Paris, you know, and do I know anything else about where French cities are located? Not really. And so, you know, Vichy it was, based on not much.
And that was correct, though.
So. Whew. Yeah, indeed. Leaving me with a whole 4 on the day. I'm just hoping against hope that I might eke out 6 points if someone thinks, oh, those albums were so big, everybody must know
mm-hmm.
the titles of them. But I have no idea if that will work out for me. So a little bit meh about this day. I really wish I would have picked the one out of the lineup for the basketball one, because then I might even be up for a dolly.
Yeah, I would most likely have 3'd that on you. Not your area.
Yeah. Nor mine.
But, yeah, well, that's it for today. Join us on Tuesday for more post-game analysis. Follow us on Blue Sky at Learned Lag. And remember,
don't forfeit.
Don't cheat.